guys, welcome back to the Sports with Jake and Matt podcast. I am your host, Jake, alongside with my host, Matt. Matt, how are you doing today?
Jake, everything hurts.
Everything hurts.
Like I just got back from, I run cross country, guys. Everything hurts. Yeah, I've been sitting on my couch the whole summer. Actually, that's not true, but as soon as you get on the ground running, everything hurts. I'm dead.
Everyone wish Matt speedy recovery from practice, because he's truly injured. So,
Nick, how are you?
I'm pretty solid, you know. Gonna do this podcast. We're gonna get it over with, and we're gonna talk some sports, and we're gonna have a good old time.
All right.
So, Matt, we're gonna start off with some baseball. The New York Yankees have had a very interesting last few weeks. Lots of ups and downs, mainly downs, but... Matt, would you like to first detail what is going on, and then maybe give some thoughts?
First off, I don't, but I will.
Okay.
To sum it up, the Mets series was the first series that we won in August.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Not good. So, at all.
I don't know. We've won like 4 games out of our last like 20. I don't know the exact stat, but it's something of that nature. Like I knew we were on like a bad losing streak, but you know, I think this 3-game we're on a winning streak now, so I think that we can get it back together. And we go to Oakland, so and we're getting Giancarlo Stanton back. So Giancarlo Stanton in Oakland, that's a good recipe for some success, I think, Jake.
Yeah, if we don't sweep Oakland, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, we need to sweep Oakland. It's a must-sweep series. It's a 4-game set. We've been dropping so many games. It is a must-sweep series. And I don't think that's really, like, ever been said before. You must sweep. But we must sweep. If we don't beat the A's 4 times in a row, and we don't do it convincingly 4 times in a row, then that will show more weakness in this baseball team. Then, I don't even know, because we just came off a 2-game sweep of the New York Mets, which that's pretty solid, right? Mets are a good team, right? So, if you can't follow that up with another sweep of probably the second worst team in baseball, then, you know, bad things. But, you know, we're 3-0 since the Aaron Boone meltdown, which honestly I love, right? Benintendi's last 3 games has been easily the best player on the team. Clutch hit after clutch hit. If he keeps that up, I mean that's awesome, right? Because he's been pretty solid. So my main issue has been the offense, because just look at the runs the Yankees have scored since the past like 2-3 weeks. It's like barely over 5, like on a game per game basis, right? So
there was a span. I don't think we scored a run in like 3 games.
Yeah, it was
just shut down, and like all the commentators were like, "Well, here's this guy coming up to the plate. He's 0 for his last 25." I'm like, "Bro, the whole team is 0 for its last 25. It's been terrible." But the one thing that I think really kind of pushed this team to the other direction was the call up of Oswaldo Cabrera. I know he's a rookie, but he's got something in him that just really propelled. I just think that was the right move. There needed to be a change, and I think he's so versatile. Guys that play multiple positions nowadays are so useful. It's like you have to have a guy like him. And the fact that he just came up there, he's not even faced. Sure, he hasn't done the best, but he has been able to produce. He got his first RBI last night. So he's been able to produce in big spots. I think that was the big move, Jake.
Yeah, since August 9th, the Yankees have scored more than 5 runs in a game only twice, and it's currently the 24th. Yeah. So over a 15-day span, we've only scored more than 5 runs on 2 occasions, which you don't want to see from a team that's a month away from October. So as long as the offense can really pick it up, I'm hopeful that the Yankees can get to about 90% of what they were in April, May. So as long as I just need the offense to show some life in Oakland, And then we can worry about the pitching, because I feel like the pitching's done its job. But I mean, Judge needs to start hitting more home runs. I mean, I know he hit two in the Mets series, but before then it was pretty dry. So.
No, I think he's woken up. And by the way, Montas, credit him last night. He actually finally had a good outing.
Yeah, it was his first good start for the Yankees, I think.
And you know, he only gave up, you know, I think he only gave up those two runs. Or am I bugging? I don't remember. I know he gave up at least one run. But anyway, that was still a solid start. And yeah, no, Judge has woken up. I believe, I hope, is that he's woken up. And teams are still thinking that they can just get away with a hanging slider, just a fastball up. They still need to realize that he's probably the presumed AL MVP. I mean, the guy's insane. So what else do you need us to say?
Yeah, so the next 7 games for the Yankees are all away, all on a road trip. We have the Athletics for 4 games, Angels for 3 games. So if we need to take 6 out of 7, that should be the goal. 6 out of 7, because those are some crap teams, right? So you got to really take advantage of that. And
The Angels have not been
the
that good.
Angels,
I mean,
we can do an entire podcast on them, but my oh
no.
my, like. Thank God we're
No.
not Angels fans. We'll put it like that. I feel bad for any Angels
Right.
fans, but honestly, chances are if you're living in LA, you're a Dodgers fan, and they're pretty happy. So, to the 2 Angels fans out there, I'm sorry, man. You'll be fine.
Nice.
So we will move
Okay.
on. Let's talk about the Giants preseason a little bit. We have the Jets game on Sunday, but I mean, other than that, 2-0. I mean, we beat the best team in the AFC last year, so you do the math. I mean, if the logic
That
goes
we're better,
right,
right?
it
We're
means
better,
the
right?
Giants are bound for the playoffs this year. I mean, they beat the Bengals and they made the Super Bowl, so like, I
Right.
mean, we at least might have to make the playoffs, right? Like
Right.
that's, pretty solid logic right there. But
On a serious note, on a serious note, a serious note though, Daniel Jones, something like Brian Daboll must have done something because I believe he's completed over 70% of his passes these 2 games. I
And
mean, I
that's kind
know
of what I
he hasn't
expected.
gotten a, he, I mean, exactly, it's not what you expect. But I know he hasn't even gotten a lot of playing time. I know it's the preseason, but you want, as a Giants fan, if he's going out there, you want to see improvement. And I think Brian Daboll has already started to do something to Daniel Jones. I really hope it shows in a couple of weeks.
Listen, man, if Daniel Jones can be 85% of Josh Allen, then we'll be okay, because what Daboll was able to do with Allen was incredible. And now I'm obviously not saying that Brian Daboll is the only and sole reason why Josh Allen's good, but he was a pretty big part of it. And I feel like, again, I've stressed this point on the podcast, if we can do that with Daniel Jones, we will have a really good season this year. Just because, I mean, I see people grouping in the Giants with like typical bad teams, like the Jets and the Texans and teams like that, who are just like structurally from top to bottom terrible. And I get that the Giants don't have many position groups where it's like solidly above average and like a lot of them, but if you watch the games, the Giants lose. They lose close, and they lose because lack of execution on one or two plays. While teams like the Jets and Texans and all the other like typical bad teams you picture, like the Jaguars, like they get blown out and they have no chance, right? The Giants, the way they lose is heartbreaking, and that's why it's so frustrating as a fan. And I feel like if we can get the little things right, and maybe Brian Daboll can help with that a little bit, but if we can get the little things right, and the Giants will surprise a lot of people because they're not just a typical bad team. They lose close and they lose in heartbreaking fashion. So if we can actually get the little things right, then I feel like this season might be a little bit different, but maybe I'm jumping the gun.
I mean, and I'm gonna go out on a limb. I know I'm biased, but all healthy, I think that defense is above average. I mean,
Average, not
Xavier
above.
McKinney,
They're around average if fully healthy.
they're close. Maybe I'm being too biased, but they're close because healthy Xavier McKinney And then you have Adoree Jackson. You have the rookie Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, Leonard Williams cracked the top 100 again. Don't know why. I mean, he's good, right? Don't get me wrong. But I think this is a good shot to see how well that defense played, because they played pretty well last year in the games that we won. So that's just my point.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm just really hoping that the Giants, because, you know, I just want to go back to my previous point. It really does kind of frustrate me when, like, people just, like, will completely override the Giants and just group them in with the terrible teams. And honestly, they've had the worst record in the past 5 years, so I really can't blame them because they're not Giants fans and they don't really watch all the games, right? But the way the Giants lose is just so close, and they rarely get blown out. And that's what really frustrates me, because if we can actually get those little precise things right, I feel like the Giants could be something. So hopefully Daniel Jones is a little bit more improved. Brian Daboll makes some really good and informed decisions late in games. And, you know, I think the Giants, I don't expect them to make the playoffs. I don't really expect them to be close either. But, you know, hopefully the Giants fans can look at this season to be something to be proud of, right? Because we haven't had that in a pretty long time.
You forgot about Graham Gano.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty cool. All right.
He's pretty cool.
And the last thing it's going to be a pretty short episode today. So one of the last things I want to talk about is the Donovan Mitchell rumors to the New York Knicks, because there have been a lot of them, right? On and off. Are the Knicks and Jazz talking? Are they not? You know, 5 first round picks, 7 first round picks, and all these things that are being said. But as a Knicks fan, you really have to look at the bigger picture here. Because the Jazz are going to the Jazz are going to want, like, at least 5 or 6 first-round picks along with players. So, Matt, do you think that because of this asking price, is it really worth it for the Knicks to get Donovan Mitchell?
Originally, when I first saw it, I was like, heck yeah. Like, we haven't had a reliable point guard. I mean, Derrick Rose is great. I mean, I don't think you're going to win. I don't think you're going to get to the playoffs with Alec Burks as your starting point guard. So originally, I was all for it. I was all for it. And then I see, Utah wants Barrett. They want Cam Reddish. They want all the guys that we just, like, acquired and all the young guys. I don't think that's worth guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Donovan Mitchell's a great player. But I think the Knicks have something going, something in the works. Sure, they're not a sure playoff team, but they're right on the cusp of something, and I think it takes time for these players to develop. I don't think it's worth, especially the asking price that they're giving, I don't think it's worth it to take on an all-star like that guy.
And the thing is that I'm going to go back to this example a lot, because I feel like the worst thing to be in the NBA is not good enough to compete, but not bad enough to really really, like, tank, right? We saw this from the Indiana Pacers a few seasons ago, and we're still kind of seeing it with them today, because, like, the Pacers with Oladipo and Sabonis were, like, consistently a 4 seed in the East, and that's, like, really difficult to do, be consistently, like, a solid playoff team. They never even won a series, man. Like, they didn't even come close to winning a series. But, I mean, they were drafting 20th, let alone, like, 15th or 16th. They were drafting around the, like, early 20s in every draft, just to come back the next season, win, like, 45 to 50 games, and then just get blown out in the first round. Like, that's basically what their existence was for, you know, a pretty long time. And then they traded away Oladipo and then Sabonis. And then now, with Halliburton, they're kind of just like a little bit better than terrible. And then they're still kind of in the same spot. Because then now they're drafting from, like, the 6th spot, or, like, the 8th spot, or the 10th spot, right? And that's really not going to do you much either. So I feel like for the Knicks, you're either going to stick with this core with OB and IQ and RJ Barrett, as long with some of the other young players. You're going to stick with the core, and you're going to see, like, how good they can get. Or you're just going to sell those type of players for a guy like Durant, like somebody who could take you to a championship. I don't think Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and RJ Barrett, even if he stays, he might even get traded for Mitchell, right? But even those four guys, like, they're not taking you to a championship. They're not taking you to a conference championship. They might get you to the second round. So I feel like giving up 5 to 7 first-round picks for a team that will not get any young players while they're losing in the second round every season is truly the reason why I don't think it's worth it. It's not that I think that on face value Donovan Mitchell's a bad player, but I feel like the direction it would put the Knicks in is overall not favorable. It's like you either lose or you win big, right? Lose big or win big. There's like the average part of the NBA is not somewhere you want to be, right? And that's why you see a lot of teams, like average teams, either sell all their guys or go all in because they don't want to be average, right? And that's a pretty common theme in not only the NBA but in all sports. So I feel like if we give up all those picks for Mitchell, we're going to be like still kind of average and not competing for a championship, while not also like we're also not going to be able to develop any young talent to add to the team, right? So I'm saying no to this Donovan Mitchell trade. I'm glad we agree, Matt.
Look, if for some reason it goes down, just want Randle in it, okay?
Yeah, that's true. If we can, if the Jazz somehow like get Randle and then like maybe like 3 or 4 picks and like that's the trade, that's cool.
I'm down for that. Like, I'm fine
like,
with that.
Like that's cool. Like it's not like I don't want to give up that many picks, but like Randle is like such a negative for the team in so many different ways, whether that's like a fit on the court or just like mentally for the team. I feel like he's more of a cancer than anything. So if we were to get rid of Randle and like the Jazz like valued that like way more than they should for some reason, I think that'd be pretty cool. But
I'd be down for Mitchell, Brunson, Barrett, Toppin, Mitchell starting five. Like I'd be down for that.
That'd be cool. But like even then, like if we had to give up 5, 6 first round picks for that, that's not worth having that starting five. Like that's not very good. So
Yeah, probably not. No.
So yeah. Quick episode today. Is this the shortest episode in Sports with Jake and Matt history? And this is about, as of right now, about 17 minutes, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick. But we said we had to say it's the dog days of summer. I mean, I'd love to talk about some Premier League
football's
stuff.
Football's coming around, yeah.
I love soccer, guys, if you didn't know. I'd love to talk about some Premier League stuff, but I'm not sure how much Matt knows about English soccer. So.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, it's okay.
It's
dog
it,
days
it,
of
you know
summer.
What it is, Jake?
You know,
yeah.
week
you know what
one.
It is, Jake?
You go, Matt, go.
It's fantasy football season.
Fantasy football That's season. What... That's right. I love fantasy football. So we're all studying here. I'm going to beat Matt this time. Matt beat me last year, but I'm going to beat him this time.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, keep saying that.
Yeah, it's going to happen, guys. Right. So, you know, dog days of summer. When week one comes along, we'll obviously have way more to talk about. But, you know, we said we had to say. I think it's pretty good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, I hope everybody listening has a wonderful day. I'm sorry if my dog's barking got in the way of any of that. I try not to let that happen. But, you know, they're dogs. So like, if I tell them to not bark, they're not really going to listen to me. So it's okay. But, yeah. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good day. Matt, would you like to say goodbye to everybody? Okay.
Yeah.
Sincere goodbyes from Matt. All right. Bye-bye, guys.